folks with oil in the name of the Lord, James 5, the last service, and somehow I anointed the microphone. So, my apologies, I'm sorry. I also baptized somebody in the Jordan River, but it wasn't a person. They asked me to baptize. I said, no, I won't do it unless you're saved. We're in the Holy Land. Well, then let's do it the way God's Holy Bible says. So I wouldn't do it. It was an ordinance of the Lord. I took it too seriously. But I did baptize my cell phone in the Jordan River. Stepped in there, and we stayed in the hotel, and I put it in rice, and it didn't revive it. It's still dead. It was never raised up out of the Jordan River. I could say that, but amen and amen. But it's good to have you here today. Last service of the old year, and here we are, last day of 2023, and we're looking forward to the new year, 2024, and some wise people that know what's going on in this wicked world in which we're living are telling us that this new year, 2024, is going to be a year of great challenge. They are warning us that if you look at the election year 2020, the presidential election year, that was just 4 years ago. And remember, that was the rollout of the COVID coronavirus. And they say this year, watch out, because folks that are in control of this world system do not want America to be free, do not want us to have free and fair elections. And so we are living in very challenging times. Talked to one of our mothers, said they went to the hospital yesterday to get care for one of the kids, and the whole emergency room was so filled up you couldn't have a chair. And I mentioned they rolled out a pneumonia that hits young people, and it's coming out of China. I've heard that before. And of course, a new coronavirus, SARS-2 clone of a virus, is being rolled out and is affecting a lot of people. And so these are things that are happening. And it's hard for me to believe that I live in the United States of America. Because I have grown up since the 1950s in this country. And to see actually politicians, courts, the Supreme Court of the state of Colorado taking a presidential candidate who was a former president off the ballot in Colorado. And I know temporarily he's been put back on until the appeal is, but they took him off the Supreme Court. And in the state of Maine, a Secretary of State took the candidate, Donald Trump, off the ballot in Maine for being a presidential candidate. And the only Republican I know that protested is Vivek Ramaswamy, who said that if you take him off, you're taking me off, because an attack on him is an attack on free and fair elections. It's un-American, and I won't put up with it. Amen. So you're going to have to take me off, too. No other Republican is saying that. We have a bought and paid for system by money, and it's a challenging time in which we live in this country. The Western globalist elites are moving to stop Trump by trying to get him off the ballot in 20 states. And they are moving forward to do that. They're stirring up threats of nuclear war. Haven't heard anything like this since the Kennedy year when I was a young teenager. And the Cuban Missile Crisis took place. I remember that very well. And we're in similar days. In addition, we're hearing of more pandemics, as I just said. And the Western globalists are gearing up to cause some kind of cyber attack to bring down our grid so that they can control all buying and selling in our country and reset everything so that there's only one currency controlled and it's all digital and they can control our buying and selling. So here we are at the end of 2023 and facing a challenging year coming up in 2024. And let me say this morning, in the midst of a chaotic sea, we are sailing in little boats with the Lord on board. Thank God he's on board with our boats. And we're looking for encouragement from the Lord. We're looking for direction from the Lord to venture forward in this year, 2024. And we're looking forward to going forward with the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, offering people forgiveness of sins, offering people eternal life, and offering them the hope that the Lord is going to come back and end all this insanity. And we're going to rule and reign with him. That's what we're looking for, the encouragement to do that. But the question this morning is, how can we keep going on our mission when the enemy is so strong and Satan is stirring up his helpers to put up a mountain in our pathway so that you and I cannot go forward? How are we going to get the courage? How are we going to get the encouragement to keep going forward? Well, the Word of God has the answer this morning. I am here to tell you, the Word of God has the answer. Please go to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. And I want to read one verse out of Zechariah 4 for that message. Here the prophet Zechariah was preaching the Word of God to a small group of people from Judah that God had brought back to the promised land. They had been captive for 70 years by the Babylonians. You know, I talk about America being in captivity by the Western globalists. They were captive for 70 years by the Babylonians, and they were taken away from their land. And after 70 years, God gave them an open door and an opportunity to go back to their land. 50,000 Jews took that challenge. Out of millions, 50,000. By the way, don't be afraid to be in the minority. Amen? Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Most people are going the wrong way. Most people are doing the wrong thing. So don't be afraid to be in the minority. And these Jews weren't afraid because they believed the prophets. They believed the Word of God. They understood it was time for their captivity to be over. And so they went back to Jerusalem under the leadership of a governor named Zerubbabel, who is a descendant of King David, by the way. And also under the direction of a high priest by the name of Joshua, they went back to Jerusalem and to Judah. And as soon as they got back, they started to work for the Lord. By the way, can I say something? I don't believe that you and I are here, if we're saved, to sit and do nothing. All we need for good, all we need for evil to triumph, Edmund Burke said, the great conservative, is for good men to do nothing. And let me say, I don't want to be here to do nothing. I don't want to retire in 2024. I want to refire. I want to do what these Jews did. I want to not only go back to where the promises are, the promised land as they went back, but I want to build for God. I want to build, and they did. They started to build for God. In about 536 BC, they started to build for God. Cyrus made a promise to them, and Cyrus said, now I'll give you money, I'll give you material, I'll give you what you need, and you can go back and build for God. By the way, do you know in 2023, I can say by personal testimony that God gives us money to build for him? God gives us men to build for him and women to build for him. God gives us what we need to build for him. You don't have to worry about that. God says, listen to me, if you want to work for God, I'll give you what you need. And so they went back and they started to build the temple, but the local political leaders didn't like what they were doing. By the way, if you're doing something for God, people will not like it. By the way, I don't know about Elon Musk. He certainly isn't a born-again Christian. I know that. But he does, in the political realm, he's giving the New World Order, Western globalists, some trouble, and they're after him. And Vivek Ramaswamy, he's not going along with what the Republican Party is doing and what the leaders, because they're part of the Western globalists, they're bought and paid for by them, and they're attacking Vivek Ramaswamy. They're attacking Donald Trump. It's not just about one man. There is opposition going on, and the reason why there's opposition going on is there is a devil, and a devil does not like the nation of Israel, and the devil, because he knows that's a threat to his kingdom, because when Israel gets saved as a nation, the kingdom of God is coming to this earth.
Yep.
Devil doesn't like it. And the devil doesn't like the United States of America as it was constituted. Under the Constitution, a nation like Israel dedicated to God by George Washington at Ground Zero at its founding after the inauguration of Washington in New York City. The devil doesn't like the United States of America as it's constituted. He wants the United States of America to be part of the New World Order. And so he is moving to stop Donald Trump from getting out of the ballot. He's opposing Christians who stand for the Word of God and stand for the old-time religion and stand for the Bible. He is opposing that. And by the way, this is right out of the playbook of the Communist Party in the old Soviet Union. They have planned to bring this nation into crisis and chaos through upsetting the moral order of this country, and it goes right along with Romans 1, and we are devolving, and we are going downhill as a country. And so these people came back, and they started the work, but the local political leaders wrote to the government and lied about them. And got an order from the new Persian ruler, not Cyrus now. He had passed off the scene. And the people were afraid when they got this order. It said, stop building. And nothing was done on the temple for about 16 years because they were afraid. Can I say something? The devil loves to use fear to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. As we end 2023 and as we go into 2024, I want to say this morning on the authority of the Word of God, God hath not given us a spirit of what? Fear. But of power and of love and of a sound or healthy mind. A fearful, panicky mind is not really healthy. And so they had fear in their heart, and they stopped the work, and nothing was done on the temple for about 16 years. I am so thankful in 2020, which I believe 2024 is planning to be a year worse than 2020. But I remember in 2020, I got a call from somebody, and they said to me, have you shut your church down yet? And I said, no, I haven't. But I'll be honest with you, I was afraid. I didn't want to run afoul of the law. I didn't want to get in trouble. And they said, have you shut your church down yet? And they were calling from the other side of the country. And I said, no, I haven't. And then something gave me the strength. I said, look out your window. Are people still buying marijuana at the local marijuana place near your place there?
Rachel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, why is that? Because it's an essential business? I said, our church is an essential business. We will not be shutting down. And we did not shut down. I had a lot of pastors shut down and good men and all this. But I'll tell you what, God has not given us a spirit of fear. But he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so these people, out of fear from the new reigning authorities in the Persian Empire, they decided to stop things. And you know what? Since they got Trump out of office, I believe they stole that. Now they're in there and trying to make people fearful to do the right thing. And in about 520 BC, about 16 years after they had started to, you know, rebuild that temple. Now for 16 years they did nothing. They were not doing anything. And you know what God did to get his people going? He raised up two preachers who were prophets of God. One was named Haggai and the other was Zechariah. Haggai was about 70 plus years old, and Zechariah was a young prophet. And God used these two men and he gave them messages preaching the word of God to the people of what God wanted them to do. By the way, do you want to not be fearful? Do you want to be strong? You better be listening to Bible-believing, Bible-preaching messages of the word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I found people that do that. Yes, you'll have opposition. Yes, the devil will attack you. Yes, you'll have the world attack you. But God, listen to me, will strengthen you. These messages that are preached from this pulpit are not meant just to entertain you. They're meant to edify you, build you up, give you strength. Why? So you could go out and do something. We got too many people playing video games. The other day, we decided, my son-in-law had a good idea. We decided to get an app and do a scavenger hunt in Scranton and go around all the buildings in Scranton. It was a rainy day. It was a chilly day. And we got out. No video games, no TV. Get out and just go around and do that. When we got to the Radisson, it was nice just to relax there. Scarlett played the piano. I enjoyed that. That was really nice. Why? Because we're out doing something. We were doing something, and it was challenging to your body. It was challenging to your mind. It was a challenge. Americans don't like that. You know why? We're soft. We're soft. Endure what? Hardness as a good soldier. And we need more of that today. When I was growing up, we didn't have the stuff we have now. It was all outside. Everything was outside. Kids were outside. All day, we were outside. And doing stuff, interacting, you know. And so we got out there, and it was enjoyable to go to the Radisson. We went to the coffee place, Northern Lights, that coffee shop down there. And we were kind of cold, kind of tired. Got in there, had some hot cider. It was nice to go in there. And then to go on there and complete the challenge, you know. And that's what we need. But I'm saying that you need something that will strengthen you for the challenges of the new year. And you're here this morning, not just to hear a message, not just to learn some new facts, but to give you, listen to me, the strength that you need to overcome the opposition. The Greek word is nikeo. It's in the book of Revelation. You know, we even have a theology today for the book of Revelation that it doesn't apply to us. We don't have to face the beast. We don't have to face opposition. Oh, it's all going to be smooth. And then we're out of here. Baloney! You say, well, that discourages me. It shouldn't. Why not? Because God doesn't give you, and I'm going to give you the title of my message right now. Let me find it. Grace and more grace for your challenges in 2024. It's not up on the screen. That's a challenge. Grace and more grace for your challenges in 2024. God doesn't give you grace to cope. Let me say that again. How many have heard me say that? God doesn't give you grace to cope. God gives you grace to what? To what?
Overcome.
Yes, conquer, to put it in alliteration. God doesn't give you grace to cope. He gives you grace to conquer. Listen, I have challenges. How do you get bigger muscles? You do progressive resistance exercises. That's what weightlifting is. It gives you bigger, stronger muscles. I'm just saying, there are challenges out there, and we are going to have, very likely, listen to me, we're going to have bigger challenges in 2024 than we've had in a while. Perhaps in my lifetime. I don't know. I hope not. But I don't know if we do. If we do, listen to me. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. This is how God's grace operates. And so we're looking at Haggai and Zechariah and understanding how God works. We've got a youth pastor here. He's like a Zechariah. I'm like a Malachi. You got the old seasoned veteran, the young, but they're saying the same message. They're saying the same thing. Thank God for that. And these preachers are saying the same thing. And a preacher is to help you to get going. Amen. I visited somebody yesterday in our church, and they said, Pastor, I had a dream about you the other day. I said, What was the dream about? Was it a bad dream? What was I doing? And she said, oh, no, it was a good dream. You were going, come on, come on, come on, keep going, come on, come on. I said, well, that's a good dream. And you know what? That's what I believe that we need to do today. Preachers need to be doing it and challenging others to keep doing it. And that's what Haggai was doing. That's what Zechariah. They hadn't done anything for 16 years. And when they got preaching, listen to me, the people did something. God's got something for you to do today. God's got something for you to do this year. And you have to find out what it is. And so I think of the preacher that went to the subway in New York City. And he would just smile and laugh. And he was so happy. And the train would come in. The train would go out. And somebody said, well, why are you so happy? Why are you laughing? Just every time a train comes in. He said, because it's something that I don't have to push. It just comes in and goes out. I don't have to push it. But as long as we're going to be serving God, we have to give that push to do the right thing. And so that's what I want to preach on today. And I want to go to verse 7. If you'll take your Bible and look at verse 7, I want to use this as my text. And you follow along. It says, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. So, you might be thinking this morning that the whole world is against what we're trying to do. The whole world is against the guy I would want to be president. The world is against us. And you see the challenge that's before us in this country in which we live. But notice the word that's repeated twice and is a key for you to go forward and to overcome the mountains that are in your way. It says in Zechariah 4, I'll read the end of it again, verse 7, he says, thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. I'm saying God has grace and more grace for our challenges in 2024. And let me say this, God gives grace for your challenge of salvation. We have a challenge before us, and that is for people to get saved. I was just talking to somebody the other day about a mother who was a drug-addicted junkie. And her kids are in great peril because of who she's involved with and how destructive it is and what a terrible thing it is. And what a challenge that is with a mother like that. And the authorities took custody of the child from the mother, but it creates challenges, you know. And the person that was talking to me, I said, you know what? You need to receive the gift of salvation.
Amen.
And thank God, God doesn't say when you've messed your life up and gotten into drugs, or you've messed your life up and gotten into fornication like you should not do, or you've messed up your life and gotten into some kind of sin. God does not say to you, you need to straighten your life out and then come to me. No, he says, you come to me just as you are.
Amen.
He says, I've already sent my son to pay for the sins of the world. And No matter how bad your sins are, my grace is greater. Amen. Doesn't it say that in Romans 5? Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Amen. I don't care what your sin is this morning, how bad you've been, the Lord invites you to receive His grace. And what is grace? Great riches. A free gift of God to undeserving sinners that deserve judgment, that deserve hell. You know, the Pharisees, they were priding themselves that they were the people of God. And they said to Jesus, you know, we're the people of God. Why do you hang around with sinners? And Jesus said, you need to understand what the scripture says. God said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You're trying to impress me with how good you are. And God is not looking for that. God is looking for somebody that beats on His breast and says, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. And then He has a mercy seat in heaven with blood on it. And I remember myself, as a 17-year-old, I was at the end of my rope. I said, God, be merciful to me. I said, I'm woe is me, I'm undone. And then my grandma told me about Jesus Christ dying for my sin. And I believed that I was born again. I'm saved by grace, not by being a religious goody-two-shoe guy. I was not. But God saved me. And if you're here today and you realize you're a sinner and you deserve to go to hell, and you do, just like I did, the meal is already prepared.
Right.
By the way, we do have a meal prepared tonight. You don't have to make the meal, right, Sarge? It's already prepared. You just come with your appetite. Sit down at the table, and you'll be served. And that's what grace does. It sits a 17-year-old punk kid who had a chip on his shoulder and bitterness in his heart, anger in his soul, Randall Craig Bloom, and it sat me down and said, you deserve to go to hell, but I'm giving you grace.
Amen.
I'm forgiving you.
Amen.
What?
Amen.
And that made a difference in my life. And now I want to do right, not because I'm trying to save myself, but because He saved me in spite of my wrong. That's what grace is. It's a free gift. That's why we have all kind of people from all kind of backgrounds that come here and get saved. And if you're one today that you're not 100% sure with a Bible reason you're going to heaven, God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved by grace. And that's the invitation. By the way, in the scripture, it said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I used to read that and think, well, Noah saw God saw the whole world, you know, and how wicked it was, and that man had corrupted the DNA of the Messiah by intermarrying with devils, and it was so bad, and God saw Noah. He's the one good guy, and he found grace. That's not what grace is. The whole world was wicked, deserving to go to hell. And God decided to save Noah.
Amen.
By His undeserved goodness. And He gave him the faith. For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourself. Even your faith. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God is looking to showcase His grace in people's lives, and it's people that don't deserve it. Don't ever forget that. And this is the way we conquer. It's the gospel of the grace of God that is given to you for your challenge of salvation. And you can't be saved by anything in and of yourself. And so put your trust in Jesus Christ and you can be saved. By the way, Jesus healed people just as they were. They came to Him. They were lame. Sometimes they couldn't even walk. They were carried to Jesus. I don't care if people have to be carried into the church. As long as they receive God's grace, they can get up and walk and leap and praise God.
Amen.
You say, well, how long do they have to take classes before you baptize them? We baptize them right away.
Right.
The Bible says it. Amen, brother. And so we just do what the Bible says. It becomes the initiation ceremony for somebody professing their faith. Is everybody that gets baptized saved? No, they went out from us because they weren't of us. But we're still going to do what God wants us to do. We baptize people. They came out of the world and got saved. And perhaps some of you would do that today and make your profession of faith in Jesus Christ. I'm saying grace and more grace for your challenges in 2024. God's grace is given to you for the challenge of salvation. And secondly, God's grace is given to you for your challenge of sanctification. He says here in verse 7, "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it." Zerubbabel was, how am I going to rebuild this temple? I've got the world against me. I've got the government against me. How am I going to do it? The people are afraid. How am I going to do it? The preacher comes up and says, grace will do it. You see, grace is not just the gift of being made righteous. It is that when you're saved, God takes all your sin and he charges it to the account of his son, and his son pays for your sin. He takes the perfect obedience of his son and puts that to your account. And the moment that you believe upon his son, God declares you are righteous in his sight, perfect in his sight. Wow, that's grace. That's God's unmerited favor, declaring me righteous, declaring me as righteous as Jesus Christ. As I'm here this morning preaching to you, I know I'm not a perfect man, but in God's view, I'm as perfect as Jesus Christ. And that's why I can stand before a holy God.
Praise God.
But wait a minute. That's called being justified, declared righteous. You're legally declared righteous. But wait a minute. God, when he justifies you, he begins to sanctify you. That is, he changes you to be more like Jesus, to be more like what the Bible says. That's his will for your life. It's like when I got married to my wife. I've said this before. I got out of the shower the first day, and I went to dry my hands on those decorative towels they put up there. And she's like, "No, no, no. Those towels are for decorations. Those are the towels you dry with." So I began to change. Why? Because I'm married, and it's making a difference in my life. And it's the same thing with you. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, his grace not only makes you to be righteous in his sight, perfect, but now he begins to change you from within, and he comes to live with you because you're married to Jesus, and so he lives with you. I am so thankful that I'm married to Jesus. He's living in my life. And if you're saved, he's living in your life. And what does the change? It's grace.
Hey.
Our first pastor, Charles Ware, used to always say, he said, the Christian life is finding out what you have in Jesus by a free gift and claiming it by faith. And you can pray for God, the Holy Spirit, to put certain qualities in your life that are not there. And he does it by grace. Because grace is not just a home in heaven. Grace, listen to me, is the power, the desire to do what you need to do. And he gives you that desire. And he gives you that power. And so I'm saying that you may have a challenge in your life. You say, yes, I want to join the church. Yes, I want to live for God. But how am I going to do it? I have a sinful nature. Yes, but you have a new nature. And you have Jesus Christ in your life. And the Bible says I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so your union with Christ as you step out in faith strengthens you to do what God wants you to do. We had a guy in our church, he was hooked on smoking. He couldn't get off smoking. His name was Ralph Tolley. I remember that. And his wife smoked like a chimney too at one time. And Ralph Tolley said, God, I ask you to take away the urge And the Lord took away the urge and gave him a new desire, and he left smoking. God is able to do that in your life. He gives you the new desire. He gives you the new power. And you feed that new man, and you'll be changed. And grace makes the difference. And so grace is given to you for the challenge of salvation, the challenge for sanctification. And then thirdly, God's grace is given to you for your challenge of serving God. Notice it says grace, and he repeats the word grace. You need God's grace to serve God. Now, I am a preacher. I am a pastor. But I did not like to be preaching and stand up in front of people. I did not like that. Somebody said to me one time, "You're a shy man that's come outside of himself." There's a part of me that hates to preach, hates to stand before people and preach the Word of God. Some people like it. I just don't like it, naturally speaking. And I remember I preached one time, and I started out preaching and real strong, and by the time I was done, I was so conscious and self-conscious that it was like literally I was going to pass out. And when they say before you faint, everything starts getting dark. And it was coming in. It was like a little tube when I was done. And I was going to pass out, one of my first sermons. And I was like ready to pass out. But you know what? I started out like a lion and ended up like a lamb because I just didn't have the power of God. And one time our pastor left and I was praying about preaching because I had to preach. And the scripture in Joshua 1:9 just jumped out at me, and I signed Bibles with that scripture. And it says in Joshua, and I'll read it to you. It's a life verse for me that came out, and I never forgot it. Joshua chapter 1, and I'll read it in verse number 9, just the way I got it that day in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Here it is. "Have not I commanded thee?" Question mark. "Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Now, our scripture in verse 7 that I gave you, notice that he talks about grace. And he says because of grace that we can be strong. Doesn't the Bible say be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? His might. And so I read that scripture and it jumped out at me, and God was saying to me, "Look, I've commanded you to preach, so you need to preach and get out there and do it, and I will be with you wherever you go. You can count on my presence being with you." And I took that promise and I got out there and started serving God, and God blessed my preaching and God blessed it in people's lives. He'll bless you if you step out in faith and you trust him, because he says that that mountain Zerubbabel that's before you, if you step out in faith and you start building this temple, I'll be with you. I will help you. Yes, you'll get opposition, but I'll be with you and help you. I think of our two girls. I mentioned them before, Rose Armitage and Marion Owen. Marion's over 80 years old. Her husband passed away this past year. And Marion was in our soul winning on Thursday night, and she and Rose were saying, "We forget sometime the gospel as we're giving it." And they were saying to Brother Joe, the teacher, "What should we do?" And Joe and I were there, and we said, "Just take a tract and just read the gospel to the person." And Marion went out with Diane that night, and she was knocking on a door, and a guy came to the door with a big dog, and the dog's barking, and God shut the dog up, and Marion says, "Here, I just want to read this to you." And she read the gospel to that guy.
Amen.
And she said, "Now, you've got to listen to this." And that guy prayed to receive Christ with her.
Praise God.
See, it's not how smart you are. It's not how good of a speaker you are. It's just, are you available? Are you willing to be obedient to God? God has a lot of people with a lot of abilities, but they're not available to him because of fear, because they feel weak. And God just told me, he said, "Look, You just step out in faith. I will be with you for your service, and he has helped me in my service for God. I remember in 2017, I was on my sabbatical for 9 months. I took a trip to Michigan with my son, Steve, and we were walking. He says, how do you stand up there and preach like you do? You just can preach. How do you do that? And I just told him that I just do what God wants me to do. And he helps me. Some people wait until everything is right, and then they'll step out and do what God wants. Is that how God works? No. If you look at the Jordan River, it separates the promised land from Israel in their travels. And God said to the priest, I want you to carry the ark and step into the river. And when you step into the river, the water will part. Some of you, God wants you to step out in faith and do something, and you're saying, God, I'll do it when everything is right, when everything looks smooth. No, you step out in faith like Peter did when he got out of the boat and he walked on the water. The waves were there. The wind was there. What was the secret of Peter? He was focused on Jesus. That's how you can get grace to serve God. That's the ability and power to serve God. You step out in faith, and look at, you keep your eyes on Jesus, and each one of us has a part to play. You have a part to play. I have a part. And you're going to give an account to the Lord, not to me. Did you do your part? Well, I was afraid. Well, you know what he says about that to the guy that buried his talent. I was afraid. Or I was this, or I was that. No, listen to me. It's you serve God by faith. And you step out in faith, and God blesses. And so grace and more grace for your challenges in 2024. It's given to you for salvation. God's grace is given to you for sanctification. It's given to you for service. And the last thing I want to say is God's grace is given to you for your challenge of success. And I just want to give you the big picture here. Go back to Haggai now. That's the other prophet, the older prophet, who preached with Zechariah. And look at Haggai 2, and I'll read it. In verse 4, Haggai 2, verse 4, very short, it says, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and what?
Work.
And work. God is with you as you work, as you step out of faith. I went out yesterday knocking on doors. I was alone. Brother Matt was alone. We were knocking on doors. I had three people pray to receive Christ yesterday. I stepped out to do the work. And God blessed the work. So that's what he's saying to you. What do you do in 2024? Work for God. Work with God. Now you say, well, we got all these problems coming up. You're telling us about it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You're doing God's work. Nothing will happen to you till he's done with you. You have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. And it says in verse 5, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. If he could say that to Israel under the law, how much more can he say it to us who are under grace? In Christ. His spirit is with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He says, my spirit remaineth among you. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. For what? For lo, I'm with thee always. Even to the end of the world. You know what? This church, now listen to me, the leadership of this church has got this message, and we are doing that great commission. We're going out, getting people saved, getting them baptized. I wouldn't be surprised to see people down the aisle today.
Amen. Good.
And he says, if you're with my great commission, I'm with you in a special way. He's with every Christian. But if you're with the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, he's with you. And you'll see how he's with you to help you. And so you can work, and you don't need to be afraid in 2024. Don't be afraid to go to church. Don't be afraid to live a holy life. Don't be afraid to be serving God. And you will have success. That's the last point. You will have success by grace, God's grace. Now look what he says in verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. This is in Haggai 2:6. And I will, verse 7, Haggai 2, I will shake all nations, and the desire of nations shall come. Does anybody know what the desire of nations is? People say that's Jesus. Since when did the nations desire Jesus? That's not Jesus. The desire of nations is peace. That's what everybody wants, peace. But there's no peace without Jesus. So in order for God to bring peace, Jesus has to come and win the war. But I got good news for you. This whole battle that I've been talking about between the globalists and Satan and God's people, we're going to win. We're going to have success. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to serve God now, and you'll see some little success along the way because he likes to do that. And you say, well, I need money. Well, look at verse 8. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Thank God. We had $10,000 come in this week for the general fund of this church. God provides for this little place. Because there are no little places. There are no little people with God. In fact, the men, and Haggai, I believe, was one of them. He was over 70 years old. Who knows how old he was. I believe he saw the former temple of Solomon, which had been destroyed by the Babylonians. Now they rebuild this temple through his preaching. And he's looking at it thinking, what? This looks like a little dollhouse compared to that, you know? It didn't look great. And God said to him, you listen to me. I'm going to build a temple greater than this. Jesus is going to build it. He's going to put it right up there on Mount Zion. Right now on the alleged Temple Mount, if that's the place. Right now you've got the Dome of the Rock. You got the Islamic abominations up there. You got all that junk up there. Jesus said, I'm going to build it. Put it right there. He's going to win. You say, well, what temple's being built now? Right now we're building a temple of people that are worshiping God in spirit and truth, not a physical temple. This building is not our temple. It's just a place where we meet that God's given us. You are the temple of God if you're saved. And God wants you to realize what you're doing is important. Why? Because it's part of, even though it may seem little to you, it's big with God because it's going to contribute to the final success when the Lord comes back and rules over this earth and sets up his great temple on earth. And that's what he gives us in the Bible. He gives you the big picture. Why? So you can have patience, so you can have grace, so you can not be afraid. Our work is greatly rewarded, and you'll have success, and you'll have a wonderful time when Jesus comes back, because you will rule and reign with Christ over this earth. What a time that's going to be. Focus on that. Go forward in 2024. And I got to read my title again. Grace and more grace for your challenges in 2024. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. And I close. We've been talking about grace and more grace for you.